Just a few hours before the service started, as we were checking into our room up on the Parker Drive, we received a phone call informing us that it was in fact a cystic growth that was causing the pain in my wife's body. They said it wasn't cancerous, but it was going to be a pretty major surgery that she was going to have to endure. So with that news in our hearts and with that news in our minds, we stepped into this hallowed place.
Yeah.
And they sang the song that week that would become somewhat of our anthem. Lord, you keep the promises you make. There isn't one that is delayed. So I will not lose heart. I will lift my arms and start to sing into the night. So that's what we did. Into our night, my wife and I began to sing. And the day of the surgery came, and after what seemed like an eternity, the nurse came out with a very concerned look on her face. But the cyst that was the size of an orange just a few days prior was now the size of a football. And what did not look cancerous a short time ago now had all the signs of being malignant. Fast forward a few weeks, and there we sat in that cold gray office, and they told us that they had done the test two different times, and she did in fact have cancer. They began to talk to us about what her survival rate was, and that she had to go through 3 days of chemotherapy every week for the next 8 to 10 weeks, and then they would reevaluate her after that. And those words stunned us and locked us to our core. And yet somewhere in the inner resources of our spiritual being, we can hear God's word being spoken through that part in the song that says, I'll stand before the giant and declare victory. My God will make a way so I am not afraid. It was then that my precious wife told him, we believe in the power of prayer. We believe in God's miraculous ability. Can you do the test one more time? And I'll never forget the mocking tone and the doubtful look that emanated from the nurse in that office that day when my wife made that request. And yet a few days later, the doctor called to inform us that even though they had run the test two other times, with cancer being the medical reality, when they ran it the third time, they could find no cancer at all in my wife's body. So to those who may have started to doubt, and to those whose faith may have started to wear a little bit of fear, I come to declare the fact, we still serve a miracle working. He hasn't lost any of his power. He hasn't lost any of his ability. He's still just as big as he's always been. And he's big enough for whatever you walk in here with. Hey, give him praise in this house. Concerning God's desire to work the miraculous not only in us, but through us, is what my assignment is this evening. For I speak tonight to that individual that knows God has called you into greater ministry and with greater calling to fulfill greater purpose. And yet your apprehensions have kept you from fulfilling that higher calling. I speak to the one who's moved to tears every time you drive through that certain unchurched city. And yet the voice of inadequacy and those declarations of insufficiency always seem to speak louder to you than the burden that you feel to go. I speak to those amongst us who, when reading the book of Acts, realize that it can be done, but you lack the belief that it can be done through you. I speak to that precious pastor and pastor's wife who been called to do more for the kingdom, but that internal tension is always present, and the battle of your will always continues to rage. For in the moment we say yes, and at the conference we say yes, and at the altar we say yes. But when faced with the realities and the expectations of actually doing what God has called us to do, it is then when our yes becomes a little less convincing and our passion begins to fail. I'm speaking of that moment tears have been wiped away and the musicians have stopped playing and the last prayer of the conference has been prayed. For it is in that moment that the lecturers of lack and the presenters of the problematic and the mainstaying narrators begin to articulate to you every reason why you are not the one for the job. So there you sit, frustrated with where you are, but too afraid to move into your tomorrows. Unfulfilled with present ministerial surroundings, and yet too terrified to leave behind that which you know, and that which you're accustomed to, and that which possesses the comfort of familiarity. For it is in that segment of your life that your fear has become greater than your faith, and your trepidation has become greater than your trust in God's ability to perform His said promises. But the Holy Ghost has sent me to combat the spirit of fear tonight. And it is God's word that is going to combat the lying spirit from hell that has been given voice in your mind for far too long. For if you will be open to it, there is about to be a baptism of boldness that is unleashed in this house in the next little bit. And that boldness is going to carry you beyond your fears. And it's going to carry you beyond your apprehensions. And it's going to carry you beyond your questions. And beyond your doubts. And beyond your physical limitations. There's about to be a baptism of boldness that rests in this house. I feel it falling even right now. I feel it coming to somebody right now. Boldness to declare His word like never before. Boldness to operate an apostolic power like never before. It's already beginning to fall. Oh, somebody praise Him in this house right now. Four in this house. Just like it. But this is what's about to happen in this room. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed that prayer, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. I got to hurry. Notice, just like us, they entered into the house of God with the calling of the Lord upon their life. Just like us, they entered into the house of the Lord with the calling of God to speak His word and to heal and to be a catalyst for signs, wonders, and miracles. And just like us, they were threatened. And they understood that those threats had the potential of stopping them. So that word threatening is a word that speaks of that which would menace us. And through its menacing, forbid us or stop us from accomplishing the task at hand. Who is it that has walked in here with the call of God on one hand and a menacing spirit of doubt and unbelief on the other? Who is it that's sitting on these pews tonight with a God-called vision from heaven in your spirit, but a hesitation from hell in your mind? For I need to show you that the prayer request of our brothers and sisters in Acts 4 was not for God to give them words to speak. For they already knew the word. And their prayer request was not for God to give them that which was necessary to witness the signs, wonders, and healings. For they knew they already had that as well. Their prayer request was for boldness to operate in the power that they already have. For they knew what we need to know, and that is this: a baptism of boldness. can be taken care of in one good apostolic prayer meeting. All it takes is one apostolic prayer meeting to baptize somebody to the boldness, and it's going to cause you to leave that prayer meeting different. Somebody's about to go home to your city different than what you came, all because of one apostolic prayer meeting.
Do not need anything else to do what God has
called us to do. He just needs to have a boldness to act on what we already have. Come on, come on, praise Him. The erroneous belief that God boldness to use what we already have. Because that's the prayer God is going to answer in the next few minutes. Personally feel like I have hindered some people from walking in spiritual and apostolic boldness because of some statements I have made from behind a pulpit. And those statements are things that I said like this. There is a new anointing fallen in this place today. Or the anointing that you need is being released into your life. The problem I have with that, and what I've been personally convicted of by God, is that I believe it is reinforcing an unbiblical concept that we are lacking something necessary to accomplish our calling. What we are telling them, that there is some anointing somewhere out there that they don't already have, and they need it. For if they are receiving this new and necessary anointing tonight, then how many other new and necessary anointings are still out there that have not yet fallen on them? And if this needed anointing is necessary to accomplish apostolic ministry, then how many other apostolic ministries have they been unable to accomplish because they did not possess proper anointing for the job? And I believe it's kept some people from stepping out in boldness because they're thinking, I don't know if I've got the anointing necessary to do what God is calling me to do. Go back home and walk in boldness. can't be more than you are now. Because it is sufficient for the cross.
Can I do that? No. He did that at the cross. And it is
power and the authority to command the works that I accomplish and the promise. you want it, if you want it, if you want to be baptized with boldness, I want you to lift your hands in the air if they're not already in the air. I want you to open your heart. I want you to open your mind. I want you to open your spirit. And right now, for yourself, I want you to pray, God, baptize me with a fresh boldness. To be restored in this room right
Thank you. on Sister Mooney's name right now. Let's pray for Sister Mooney in 1914. She's in the ICU. Let's pray for her right now, Sister Mooney. Would you lift your hands and your voices? Pray for Brother Sister Mooney right now in the name of Jesus.